Welcome to Storage on Tap, a podcast covering news, insights, and trends in the storage industry. Today, we are talking about the exciting world of sports video production. Sports teams, leagues, and venues globally have the unique responsibility of entertaining its fans through thrilling video experiences. We are living in a time where sports is pushing the envelope in how they're creating and delivering video, standing on the forefront of 4K adoption, testing the waters with virtual reality, and utilizing video for not just providing entertaining content, but for scouting and analytics purposes are just a few examples. Sports organizations are creating more content in higher resolutions and have the need to reuse and archive content easily. This is causing a massive influx in storage requirements. Which brings us to our second episode, where we will welcome industry thought leader Tom McGowan, Vice President of Business Development and Principal Consultant at Integrated Media Technologies, as well as Dave Frederick, Senior Director of Media and Entertainment Solutions at Quantum. We will discuss the top trends in sports video, the challenges sports organizations are facing, and more. I'm your host, Reese Clark, and this is Storage on Tap. All right, so I am joined by Dave Frederick, the man, the myth, the legend, the senior director of product marketing for media and entertainment here at Quantum Corporation. Dave, how are you doing?
Good, Reese. Thanks for having me. It's great to virtually be with you in the same space in the radio ether,
yes,
if you will, or the podcast ether.
Yeah, for sure, across the airwaves. Well, we're going to be talking to Tom McGowan from IMT in a little bit, but I wanted to speak with you first and ask you if you could tell us what sports video production is and why we're talking about it today.
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of people have in their head that sports video is what they watch when they turn on a game and they see on television, broadcast television, a game go by, and all the commentary and the camera angles and everything that goes along with that. That's certainly a big component of sports video in terms of broadcasting games. But and what's also going on at the same time and behind the scenes is almost, in many cases, even more video production going on to promote the team, the venue, the league. That's all happening simultaneously, and they use the games both as a means of collecting new content as well as distributing content to entertain the fans who are at the game, also who are watching the game on television, or may watch it sometime in the future as a rebroadcast.
Wow, that's truly fascinating. So can you tell me what are some of the top trends that you're seeing in the sports production industry today and where you see the industry headed?
Well, if you watch games and you see the marketing around the games, they're using all kinds of new technologies to create new visual interest, not just at the game itself, but in the marketing and the promotion of the game. Things like there's now drones that are flying over fields. They're capturing that, and that's creating some interesting video content. There is, I don't know if you saw in the Super Bowl, where they had used a virtual reality camera to have a member of the armed forces in the Middle East join their family at the Super Bowl virtually by sitting in a VR theater. That was that kind of technology. And by the way, in the Final Four, you also got to have ringside seats, courtside seats. And sitting right there on the courtside floor and be able to watch the game on goggles at home, and the games that are being broadcast, that cost maybe, I think they were charging $1.50 or $2 for you to be able to watch that stream and have that virtual reality experience. So these types of technologies are being used to promote the league and the team. And then within the venues, they've got content going on the boards all the time. That has to be done somewhere. And somebody has to produce that. They're looking through archive content when there's a play on the field. and they want to show, you know, if a pitcher hits a home run, when was the last time the pitcher hit the home run? When was the first time a pitcher hit a home run? That kind of stuff wants to go up on the scoreboard and entertain the fans. So the video content is just happening simultaneously in all kinds of ways all the time around you, and you don't even realize that a lot of it doesn't go out on the air.
Right. Wow. That's amazing to just think how far all of this technology has come. We are going to invite Tom McGowan onto the show to discuss all of this further. We'll be right back. I'm here with Dave Frederick, and joining us today is Tom McGowan, the Vice President of Business Development and a Principal Consultant of Integrated Media Technologies. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Reese. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Can you tell us a little bit about Integrated Media Technologies and your strongest differentiators?
Thank you, Reese. IMT is a unique solutions provider. We're more than just a traditional VAR and our systems integrator. Our clients tell us that we have expertise that others don't have or that they can't provide. And so what differentiates IMT is our experienced and skilled engineering staff. They understand and they have experience in IT and traditional broadcast and M&E workflows and technologies. So working with our client-facing personnel, they're able to evaluate our prospects, clients' issues, and determine their requirements to improve the client's ability to produce, manipulate, and deliver content. Expanding on those points, for every Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Tigers, or Seattle Mariners projects, as examples that we do, we expand on the knowledge gained for the next project.
Okay, so what's your role at IMT, and how do you support the sports video production industry?
Well, my role at IMT is quite simply really to engage prospects and clients that have issues to resolve centered on file acquisition, storage, managing the associated metadata and assets, manipulating that content, allowing collaboration in a production environment, delivering content in multiple formats to multiple screens, archiving the content with an eye to retrieving it when required, ensuring the security of that data, etc. Simple, really, right? I also support the industry in a number of ways, such as I'm active in the sports video group. I often moderate panels related to topics we're discussing in this podcast. I'm there to address questions and concerns for people and organizations that have questions primarily about files and content. Once again, all of the issues we've discussed previously. I'm also active in the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Technical Emmy Selection Committee, which means that in many cases, we chair subcommittee investigations that perform deep dives into sports-related technologies. Last year, as an example, I chaired the technology investigation Ultra High Definition or Stitch Raster Television down-res to HD for the purposes of instant replay. I've chaired the investigations for Telestrator and Skycam as just a few more examples over the years. It keeps you very current with technology, and you're interfacing with some of the greatest engineers in our industry. Now, I visit with all types of personnel at leagues, teams, and sports organizations where face-to-face meetings allow us to gather the knowledge of what people and organizations want to do tomorrow that they can't do today. It's my or our job to collaborate with them to bring solutions forward that'll help them achieve all of their objectives for a price that they can afford. And that includes scaling and expanding a solution over time or multiple years. And that's really a critical part of that, because as an example, if you're building an archive, you should never, ever sell an archive solution to somebody without describing to them and detailing what's the migration strategy over time that they're going to have to deal with. They should be aware of those things in advance. So those are just a few ways that we engage with clients.
Hey, Tom, this is Dave. So first of all, I've known you for a while, and I had no idea you had so many irons in the fire. When did you have time to become a great golfer?
Well, I just went to the chiropractor this morning after being on that plane and had my shoulder pop back into place. So hopefully this weekend I can live up to that accolade you just gave me, Dave.
Nice. Okay, good. Well, we'll see you at the SVG event. You know, I wanted to, you mentioned that 4K project with that you had with the Emmy committee. And, you know, I know that sports has always been leading a lot of other broadcast efforts in their adoption of high res and high frame rate content because of the nature of sports material. You know, is this, obviously, I think you're seeing this with your clients of their adoption of 4K. Are they moving from a simple investigation to actual implementation and deployment on a wide basis?
Well, they are actually. You know, this will be my 40th NAB coming up in a couple of weeks, consecutive, I might add. I always say I've lived in Las Vegas for more than a year, but I've never lived there. after so many years of visiting the NAB show. And what we're seeing is that sports teams, organizations, and the like, they weren't as prevalent 40 years ago or 30 years ago or even 15 years ago in terms of looking to increase their capabilities to engage fans with compelling content. And so, as an example, when you talk about the quick adoption of 4K productions among these teams and leagues and venues, the answer is yes, clearly yes, that they are focusing in that area today more than ever. I mean, you've got 30 baseball teams as an example. You've got 32 NFL teams as another example. And then there's the NBA, and the list just goes on. And it's almost another industry. In fact, the Sports Video Group would tell you it's another industry within our industry. And so the 4K question is relevant. But I prefer, much like in the technical Emmy or technology that I chaired last year, we looked at it as not just 4K. We changed the initial technology from 4K to ultra high definition because we didn't want to come back when it's 16K or 12K or whatever the case may be. We wanted to cover ultra high definition to include 5K, 6K, 8K, and beyond. So I have a client right now that has installed 8K video boards in their stadium. Now, what that means, especially for Quantum, is that in order to feed those boards, they need a lot of storage. 8K is 8 times the resolution of HD, as you know. And whether a client is working in 4K or something above that, they need to be able to provide a storage pool that allows editorial and graphic clients and producers, for that matter, with the ability to share, view, and manipulate content. Without a significant amount of compelling content feeding those boards, you'll not be able to engage the fans in the manner in which they desire to do so. Now, when you have that much content in a storage system or a storage pool, then you need to know how to find it and what you've called it once you store more than one clip of video. So the simple answer to the question is yes, it's going to spiral upward and it's going to do so exponentially.
So with professional teams though, you know, they've got a lot of resources and they certainly have revenue to back up that upward spiral. But we also see some activity in the college sports arenas, not to least of which is March Madness, which we've just gone through. And there was a lot of production, a lot of high-end and very high-quality production going on associated with those venues and those teams. So do you see this? Is this an equivalent type of adoption with college, or are they lagging behind? Where do you see college fitting in with this?
Well, colleges aren't normally the leaders in adopting technologies such as stereoscopic 3D when it was popular, or ultra high definition or the like. I think primarily because they're, I'll take as an example, we'll just talk about Notre Dame and Scott and Dan at Fighting Irish Digital Media. You know, they've got all of these different sports that they have to address on a daily basis, depending upon what the season is, right? And so when you take a look at what they're trying to accomplish, they don't just go out as, let's say, NFL or MLB or NBA or whatever and say, we have to do this for our fans. Let's go. We're going to spend the money. You know why? Because if it's a team, chances are somebody owns that team or a limited number of partners own that team. They can make quick decisions. They can invest that money. And so when you look at some of the NFL teams we've dealt with, or MLB teams as examples, then what happens is they can make pretty quick decisions. But once again, they're looking to engage fans. And the best way to engage fans is to be able to create technologies, integrate those technologies together that allow them to create compelling content. So when we look at Final Four, March Madness as an example, IMT built a good share of the ingest, editorial, MAM storage. In fact, that's quantum storage, and it's a quantum archive at CBS Sports Network. And so when you look at trends, that's really the key word in this question. It's like stereoscopic 3D, HD, UHD, high dynamic range, virtual reality, StatCast from MLB Advanced Media, ATSC 3.0. All of these are technology directions that evolve based on the industry's ability to create the technology and then the fans' desire to see more of it. So I believe, as an example, that virtual reality will continue to evolve in the sense that we, as the industry, find ways to differentiate themselves from traditional broadcasts for the fans. As long as they're a hill or a technology opportunity, people are going to find a way to see what's on the other side of the hill or determine a way to create something that's never been done before in the hopes of improving the bottom line and the interest in the broadcast.
Well, that's actually, I find that really interesting. I mean, the ability for teams and for whether they're college or professionals to engage fans is obviously important to them. And I see, you know, I see a lot of usage of the technology being used to even engage fans before they leave the house and they're coming to see the game. You know, we see streaming content that takes them from driveway to driveway, right, from the beginning to the end. And so, you know, when you look around all the leagues, who are you particularly impressed with in their use of technology, their use of video content, and their employment of these types of approaches to keep fans engaged and to inform and entertain?
Well, that's a great question. Dave, I have to tell you that there are a number of organizations that impress me. I mean, you can look all the way back to NFL Films and what the Sables created there back in the 60s and what it is today. I mean, when you're watching old footage of Dick Butkus and he's hammering the opposition, it's compelling content. And what would we do without that? And so when you look at MLB as an example, MLB Advanced Media and MLB Network and their associated teams, they've exemplified what it means to acquire, broadcast, and archive compelling content. MLB's archive is approximately 675,000 hours of history, and it grows every day. MLB, from every game, they take in a home and an away feed, a clean and a dirty. You know how much content that is? That's a lot for every game. And every team is playing 162 games. That's all content that's available for usage in their broadcast studio shows, and they can repurpose it in any manner they wish to do so. The Baltimore Ravens are another great quantum customer of ours. They're leading the way, in my opinion, in how to create compelling content and transform and digitize their entire history so that those digital files are available for use at any time. NBA Entertainment's another organization with a very impressive strategy, and they've been doing it for years. There are many, many others, such as the National Hockey League, the NFL, as we talked about, et cetera. Colleges are doing this, not on the scale of professional teams, but it's impressive what they're doing.
Well, so by the way, I'm going to start calling you Cal Ripken of NAB, because 40 consecutive NABs clearly puts you in the same league as Cal Ripken, and with his longevity record in baseball. And you mentioned baseball, but just the amount of games that they have. I mean, is this the kind of, I would assume that this is among the biggest challenges that you have in solving problems, is people like MLB that just have so much content to deal with. How do you approach these problems? How do you get them over that hill?
Well, without broaching any NDAs, MLB is a terrific customer of IMT's. We have a great deal of respect for them. And aside from the fact that I'm a sports fan in general and have been, I played baseball as a little peewee kid, and I played baseball in the Army. I love baseball. And so when I look at what Tab Butler and Mark Hayden and Susan Stone, and those folks at MLB are doing, you look at MLB's playing 162 game season. Then their studio shows. That doesn't count, by the way, spring training, playoffs, World Series. Then there's the MLB draft, the World Baseball Classic, which we just concluded, right? You get the idea.
That was great.
They have to schedule these installations, upgrades, and testing in extremely tight windows. So it's very, very, it's common for us to go in and help them collaborate to ensure that we don't overstate our ability to install or upgrade their technology in unrealistic timeframes. In most cases, we do these things when the clock strikes midnight or on the weekends or both. And what I like about our people, and I talked about our people when we first opened this conversation, our technologists at IMT are very, very flexible. They understand that sports and broadcast television, it doesn't happen on a 9-to-5 clock. And so we're asking some of the finest engineers in the industry to work these illogical hours in different locations to ensure that our clients get what they need. And I think that that's, I mean, I can't do my job without them. And MLB can't shut down. And MLB is just an example. And another challenge is ensuring that the IT departments are in sync with the production departments with respect to what has to take place and when. The network has to be capable of handling the throughput and allow for the amount of traffic that'll be going across it. Everyone needs to set proper expectations, and those need to be laid out in advance. It's not a problem, but it will be if you don't address it early on.
Yeah, so, okay. So you've got these organizations you're dealing with, and you know, I wouldn't be doing, you mentioned doing the job. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't sort of steer this conversation back towards storage and data management, which is, you know, what one of the reasons we're here. So do the different organizations, the representatives of different groups in these companies, do they understand the impact of storage infrastructure and data management on what they're trying to get done?
Well, like we talked about earlier, it is certainly top of mind. And once again, it's not just with professional teams and organizations. It's with colleges, universities, anybody that's trying to draw somebody in from an audience. And that audience can be anything, any type of audience. So as an example, the production department responsible for creating compelling content needs a file system that's flexible, it's got to be reliable, and they can integrate into that storage solution. They need to be able to collaborate. Now, the IT director requires the knowledge of what type of throughput and bandwidth is required to ensure that the system will operate across their networks reliably. So the IT director must also ensure the security of their organization, and that's a whole other matter, and we help them with that as well. Now, the owner and the executive management team, they've come to grips with the sticker shock that comes with ultra high definition storage requirements, but they'll get it because the fans demand it. There's no way around it. Now, the director of engineering, he needs, or she needs, to ensure that they'll get a clean installation, it's going to be reliable, and that they'll be able to ensure support from whoever they're doing business with, and it's got to be upgradable, and it's got to be scalable, and that's both out and up, so horizontally and vertically. And Quantum does a very, very good job of that. So IMT understands all of that, and we appreciate that everyone in the building has a different responsibility, but they all appreciate the end game or the objective. How do we increase our fan base? How do we hold their interest? How do we increase their level of interest in our organization? You know, when you look at a team and an organization, it's just there to entertain. Its objectives include fielding a championship team, most certainly. But it's also interested in creating enough interest to a level where jerseys and hats and t-shirts and hot dogs and beer, they fly off the racks and out the door. Fan engagement is king, and compelling HD and UHD content will help them achieve those objectives. That's not an opinion, that's a fact. And IMT gets that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when sometimes it's easy to lose track of the fact that we are talking about an entertainment company here. They're in the business of entertainment. And, you know, whether you're rooting for a team or a town or whatever, it's still the business of entertainment. And that that has a big, that overshadows all the other operations. And I know that in the broadcast space, in the film industry, and in other industries, there has been a renewed, not renewed, that's not the right term, but a enthusiastic employment of reuse of content and remonetization of content. And, you know, I don't know about you, I love some of the old games and going back and watching those, or clips, or sometimes the clip reels. And so what do you see as far as the teams and the leagues, from their standpoint, their attitude about reuse of content? How do they hang on to it? How do they get it? What do they do with it? And how are you working with them on that?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because when you talk about reusing, the moment you say, how do I reuse or monetize older content, that says right away, somebody has content and it's got to be old. So it's got to be somewhere. And what form is it in? Is it still in celluloid? Is it on videotape? Where is it? And if it is, how usable is that? How can we access that? So the first thing, I'll give you an example. The Baltimore Ravens were digitizing and transforming. We're better than halfway through the operation right now. Their entire 20-year history. I know they're 21 years old, but going on 22. But the fact is that we built a quantum environment for them in an archive after their 20th year. So when they get all of their content in digital files, no matter whether it was in 1996 or the year 2000 or when it was, they're going to have access to that, and they can use it in any way they want. So it is a challenge, and it's a very high priority. It really depends on the organizations and the teams right now. What I mean by that is that some teams and organizations put a priority on it early on and others didn't. And now they're wondering how to address this topic. This is what IMT does. This is what Quantum does. They provide technologies, and we provide the technologies and the capabilities of integrating those technologies into existing or new technologies that are going to give them that capability. So you look at, once again, MLB, NFL, NBA, PGA Tours is another one. They're excellent examples of how an organization was forward thinking. They made the investment early on. Most of these teams or organizations are archiving with a form of spinning disk storage, but it's tiered properly, whether it's solid state or whether it's fiber channel or whether it's SATA or SAS or cloud or object-based storage. They tier it and we tier it for cost effectiveness and efficiency, as well as LTO tape. And that is all based on collaborating with the client. So when you talk about where are we going, what improvements can we make? That's also a terrific question. We're going to have to address that in different ways. For teams and organizations that have already built their archive, they look to various ways to enhance their infrastructure, be it on-prem storage or a combination of cloud. It could be tiered with object-based storage, either on-prem or in the cloud or both. SSD, as we mentioned, can come into play along with SAN, NAS technology, and a combination of LTO. It really depends on how the client views their needs to archive and how often do they believe they'll actually be retrieving that content. Does it go deep into Glacier as an example? What's my access to and from the cloud? What's that going to cost me when I want to bring that back? Sure, you can get it up in the cloud almost for free. But when you ask for it, coming back, that's when the cash register starts ringing. So all of these questions that IMT is capable of addressing for our clients, and we do that every day. And so for teams and organizations that haven't addressed the archive yet and are beginning to do so, it's a different approach. They need to be educated on what's available, what those processes are. They need to be taught about migration strategies like we talked about, and what are their usage requirements. Any of the above strategies can work or a combination thereof. It's all about asking a lot of questions, waiting for the answers, ask more questions, and then collaborate with them to design the archive that'll meet their needs and scale it for growth. When we go out to these teams and we deal with IT and production personnel in these teams and leagues and organizations and the like, they're smart people. These guys really get it. They know what it takes. The problem is they have day jobs and they don't have the time to investigate all of the different technologies. Let's take Quantum as an example. Quantum is a vast company in terms of their offering, and they have scaled so quickly over the last, let's just say, 5 to 7 years, coming from a file system structure to being one of the original three in the LTO consortium, to now they're in cloud, they're in flex tier, they've got object storage with Lattice. You've got all of these different technologies. And just having those technologies is terrific, but knowing how to scale those properly with cost in mind over time for any client, and they're all different, that's really the important issue. And it's wonderful that we're able to work so closely with Quantum. They're always accessible, and that's why we have such a great relationship with you folks.
Well, I'll drink to that, Tom. You know, the name of the podcast is Storage on Tap, so we're gonna buy you a drink and thanks for your time, and I'm gonna be looking forward to seeing you at your 41st NAB coming up pretty shortly. So what are we going to be buying you? What's your favorite drink?
Well, gosh, you know, you might have to get out the credit card for that one. When you're talking about what's my favorite drink, I have to think about what's it paired with when it comes to food. And I'd say a Colorado or a New Zealand rack of lamb with a Chateau Longeville or Baron de Pichon Longeville. That is a great bottle of red wine. But I'll tell you what, a fat tire, just a fat tire beer, that won't hurt your budget any. I'll always appreciate sitting down with you. I learn a lot every time I do.
Well, it's been great. And Reese, I'm going to turn it back to you. Thank you for letting us use your show.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Thanks so much for listening. Tune into the Storage on Tap podcast by going to storageontap.com. Also, please subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. And lastly, follow Quantum Corp on social media. You can find us on Twitter with the username Quantum Corp, and we are also on Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm your host, Reese Clark. Thanks again for listening.